Well, today, I want to talk to you about a passage of Scripture we don't normally go over with communion, and also an ancient Christian document. Normally, when we look at communion, we like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's probably the most thorough instructions on what we're to do. It came from Paul. It was the earliest instructions that we have. And then we can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and see what Jesus said about remembering him like that. But today, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's kind of wedged in there just before his discussion of things offered to idols and pagan feasts and sort of thing. And he's saying, you know, you participated in Christ. How could you participate in that sort of thing? If you don't know where the meat came from, just take it with gratefulness. But if you do know, you can't participate in what have been offered to demons. So let's read it. It says, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. So first of all, let's look at the unity that he talks about. Churches partook back then of one loaf, and they're represented by many people, right? We are one united church, as a church universal and as Ridge Chapel. And we come from these grains. We're all like a head of grain, and we're put together, and then it's a beautiful thing, one organism, one body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Seven times he uses that word one. We're one. We here are one as we celebrate communion. I wanted to share this little book with you. This is the Penguin Early Christian Writings, but one of these things in there is called the Didache, the teachings. And it was I was surprised to learn it wasn't found until 1873. The manuscript was found in Greek, and it created a quite excitement back then, kind of like the Dead Sea Scrolls did in the 1900s. Because it was a very early Christian source going back, they think, to the second half of the first century. And it says how Christians practiced different things. And among the seven subjects are baptism, the taking of communion, Sunday worship, and local leaders. So it's very interesting. And one of the things it says about communion, it offers this prayer. As this broken bread, once dispersed over the hills as wheat, was brought together and became one loaf, so may your church be brought together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. So we're united with one another. The second thing that 1 Corinthians 10 talks about is united with Christ. We participate in the blood of Christ as our own decision and also together as a church. So when we came to Christ, when we put our trust in him and publicly confessed him and repented of our sins and were immersed into Christ. Romans 6:3-5 says this, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So we have made the decision to follow Christ. We are with him, and now we get to remember him every week in a really beautiful way. The Didache also says, no one is to eat or drink of your Eucharist but those who have been baptized in the name of the Lord. Of course, this memorial doesn't mean anything to anybody who's not a Christian. This is for us. This is for the unified church. And then it also has some good advice about coming to this point in worship and finding that your sin is keeping you from God and needs to be dealt with. It says, whoever is holy, let him approach. Whoever is not, let him repent. A lot of the early church fathers said the same thing. They said, don't stay away from the Lord's table too long. So if we have a problem, we need to deal with it, right? With God or with each other. So let's go ahead and take a minute, and as I pray, feel free to resolve anything you need to with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each person here. Lord, we are a sinful people. We fail and miss the mark all the time. And so we pray that you'll forgive us, Lord, of all our sins, all of our thoughts and attitudes, words and actions, where we could have done better. We pray that we'll be unified with our brothers and sisters too. In Jesus' name. So just lastly, I just want to say, you know, this is something really, really special, really miraculous. We take in, we participate every week in Christ's body and blood, and we remember him and we appreciate it. And as 1 Corinthians 10 says, you know, we participate in his body and blood, but we also, we're unified. We do it together. So the word communion, we tend to use more than Eucharist or the Lord's table, because I think it means a lot. We commune with Christ and we commune with one another, don't we? So let us pray for the bread and the cup. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of your sacrifice, for the way that Jesus has made things right between God and man. Lord, we look to you and we want to appropriate that sacrifice, and every week we want to bring Christ into us in some new and special way. And Lord, we thank you and bless this, pray that you bless this bread and this cup as we take together in Jesus' name. So together let's take the bread. And take the cup, remembering Christ's blood. And we remember together.